Morning all, and a happy new year to those who haven't said happy new year to yet. Is it too late to say that? Nah, not too late, I'm sure. I'm sorry it's cold this morning. I think we have to start the heating system about 4 days in advance of the Sunday morning meeting going forward, which will cost us a fortune, but we'll at least be warm whilst we worship God. I'm going to try my best to go through this at a reasonable pace so you're not sat there for hours in the cold, because I can move around, but you're obviously sat still. So I promise not to do any form of aerobics or anything to get you going, but if you want to get up and jump around, then you're more than welcome to. Okay, so this is new to me. So it's been 11 months since I last preached. I looked up in my, I keep all the record of all my sermons over the years, and the last time was February 2021. Wow, the world looked different in February 2020. Well, it didn't actually. It was not much different. There's just a few more people here in the building. So hopefully, now there's nobody up in the castle, which makes me worried. They've all fled. But hopefully my PowerPoint slides are about to magically appear by the wonder of technology. That's okay, I'm sure they'll come up in a few moments. But I'm going to talk to you this morning about rejoicing in hope, being patient in tribulation, and being constant in prayer. Romans 12, verse 12, well-known passage of the Scripture, passage of Scripture that we will know well and love. And in many respects, arguably, it's been my prayer for 2021. That's been on my heart for a long, long time through 2021, rejoicing in hope, being patient in tribulation, and being constant in prayer. I'll come on to it in a little bit, but it was great that Chris referenced hope last week. For those of you who were here or heard it online, she referenced the wonderful hope that we have, and we'll come on to that in a little bit. But there's never been a more important time to know this verse in our lives, that we can rejoice together in hope, but we need to be patient in tribulation, but constant in prayer together as His church. Now, you're very welcome to be with us this morning, both here in the building and for those who are watching online. We love having anyone here with us. We love being in a very open church, inclusive to all. And I thought I'd start, it's the beginning of the new year, by talking about our church a little bit. And our church has a vision of always being able to experience and enjoy the presence of God together. We love to worship God together. That's been a bedrock of our church from day one. To teach and learn the Scriptures together and to apply them to our lives and to grow the message of Jesus as far and wide as we possibly can whilst discipling one another. And that's really important, that we continue to disciple and fellowship with one another, and I'll come on to that a little bit later as well. We're a Bible-believing, God-centered church who love Jesus, and we choose to follow His ways. We love to worship Him in spirit and truth, and we exist to allow people to join together to proclaim the good news of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. And we choose to preach the good news of the gospel to our friends, to our neighbors, to our work colleagues, to our university friends, to our school friends, to strangers, to anyone who will hear us, to everyone who will hear us. That's the message of our church. And I love the new year. I absolutely love that moment. You know the moment, I don't know where you were this year, at midnight, when you start to watch the fireworks in London, realize there's no one there watching them. Or wherever you might not be watching any TV, you might just be enjoying some time with friends and family. You might be on your own, you might be in bed, you might not have made it till midnight. But that moment, it's only a small, sharp, short moment when we flick from one year to the next. I don't know about you, but it's a time to reflect for a moment, but also to plan ahead. And I always spend the first few days of the new year reflecting, refreshing myself, re-energizing, and refocusing. They're the things I like to do that period of the year between Christmas and New Year. I like to reflect on what I've learned, and boy, we've learned a lot in the last year. We've learned some new words to go along with COVID over the last few years. We've learned about social distancing. We've learned about isolation. We've learned about restrictions. We've learned a lot in the last year. I like to refresh myself and think about what I need for the year ahead. I like to re-energize myself by thinking, what am I looking forward to in 2022? And in fact, in our Zoom life group this week, we talked a little bit about what we're all looking forward to in this year ahead. And most importantly of all, and this is the one thing that I always make sure I spend time on, not only myself, but with my family, I talk to my wife and to my children and say, what changes do I need to make in my life? How can I reprioritize, refocus on you? And sometimes that leads to the kids saying, oh, Dad, you know what? I'd love to do this, 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 and this. And the list is getting longer and longer. I think I don't think the year is going to cover off all of their desires. But I do love to help them to see what's important to them, what's a priority in their lives. So they're the four things that I like to do. So a few little pictures for you here. So reflecting on the past and thinking of the future, a time to refresh ourselves, a time to think of future hope and re-energize ourselves, and perhaps that dreaded New Year's resolution list, refocusing, what changes are we going to make? Do you know, God does not change. I'm going to say that again. God does not change. There are no restrictions in knowing and meeting with Him. He is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow, and forever. He doesn't need to isolate or shield from us. He never leaves us nor forsakes us. And I want to read this quick scripture from Numbers 6. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift His countenance upon you and give you peace. That's my prayer for our church this year. That the Lord would bless us. Lord, would you bless your church today and forevermore? I'm going to read this scripture now. There's a few verses. I'll put them up on the screen, and then I'm going to pray as we look through Romans 12. Okay, so here we go. So hopefully you can see that on the screen. A little bit small, but I'll read it out for you. For by grace given to me, I say to everyone among you not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same functions, so we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them, if prophecy in proportion to our faith, if service in our serving, the one who teaches in his teaching, the one who exhorts in his exhortation, the one who contributes in generosity, the one who leads with zeal, the one who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be genuine, abhor what is evil, hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection, outdo one another in showing honor. Do not be slothful in zeal, be fervent in spirit, serve the Lord. And here's the verse, rejoice in hope, be patient in tribulation, be constant in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be wise in your own sight. Repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it with the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. To the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. For by doing so, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Lord, we want to thank you for your word. We want to thank you that it's life to us. It's the lifeblood of who we are. Lord, I thank you that when we open your word, you speak to us. You guide us. You show us your way. And Lord, today as we look through Romans 12, would you reveal things to us again, afresh and new? Maybe it's things we've read before. Bring them back to us, Lord God. Remind us again. Maybe it's new for us. Show us new things, Lord God. We're a church and a people that is hungry for you. We need you, Lord, more than anything in our entire lives. And we thank you for all that you've done and all that you're going to do with us. And we're excited at the start of this new year to recommit our lives to you again, to say that you are in control, that you are a loving Father who cares so compassionately and passionately for your church. Thank you, Lord, that it is your one and only plan. There is no plan B, Lord God. You trust in your church, and we choose to serve you and follow you. And I just ask that you would speak again to us this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Okay, so three parts this morning. Part one is going to be focused on verses 3-8, the church. And we read very much about the body of Christ, and there are parallels with 1 Corinthians 12, where it says, now you are the body of Christ, and each one of us, each one of you is a part of it. We're all part of the body of Christ. There are many parts to the body of Christ, and we all come with the amazing gifts and talents that God has given us together as a church, not just on a Sunday morning, but through the week. Now, I often think that we confuse church life with just being about Sunday mornings. And maybe for those of you who've been participating in Zoom calls for life groups in the last few years, maybe those Zoom calls remind you of being together a little bit, not quite, but being a little bit together as church. It's not quite the same seeing people's faces on a screen, not being together. And we talked a bit about that at life group this week, how frustrating it is not to be at a fellowship like we did 2 years ago and beforehand. And perhaps, you know, we took for granted the fact we had all these people coming into our home every week, and we would hug and we would pray and we'd have great fellowship together. We'd have a meal. We'd enjoy each other's company. Sadly, that's not possible at the moment, but we can use the technology that we have to help us to catch up. But it reminds us that there are many different parts of the body. We all do different things. We all come from very different backgrounds. I always find it amazing that we all join together on a Sunday morning or through the week. But it's not just about that. It's a lifelong experience of being together as the church of Jesus Christ. We are 24/7 together as the body. We might not be physically together, but we hold each other up in prayer. We encourage one another. As we've done this morning, we celebrate with one another the excitement, the joys of what's happening in the church. We weep with those who weep. That is what church is about. I went for a walk with David in the week, and we were talking about our experiences of church, of praying for different things, catching up, finding out what was going on in each other's lives. We could walk. It was throwing it down with rain. I'd have never been so wet, but it was nice to share some time together, to encourage one another, to talk, to communicate. See, church is about working together, working things out together. There is no perfect solution. I'm a problem solver at heart. That is my life. That's what I do. That's my living. I love to solve problems. And I've learned there are some problems you can't solve. Some things you just got to pray through, and God knows, and trust it to Him. And often in our church life, I find the same thing. I want to go in with my own strength and my own might and solve whatever problem might have arisen. But I realize more important is being constant in prayer, committing things to the Lord. There's nothing like committing things to the Lord, giving things over to Him. And of course, at the start of the new year, the other thing I like to do is think about, well, first and foremost, my own life and how I feel the last year has gone and what I need to commit more of my time to in respect of the church and the people and what's happening here at New Life Church and beyond. But also think about how the church is doing. Almost a bit of a health check. You know, do a health check on the church. And I do that by using five principles or parts of church life, five focus or areas of focus for the church, which often come up in Matthew 28 when we're instructed to go into the world, making disciples of all men, baptizing in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And these are the five things that come out and are often used within church life more generally. The five aspects of worship, of fellowship, of discipleship, of ministry, and evangelism. And the way I like to do this is, you know, the graphic equalizers you often get either on a car dashboard or on a stereo at home. I suppose I don't have stereos anymore. It's all on phones. But you know those sort of graphic equalizers. I tend to think of my which bits have I committed more time to? Which bits do I feel are going well in my own life first and foremost? Am I committing enough time to fellowship Well, the last 12 months, I would absolutely say no. I've not found ways to be able to catch up with people. I desperately miss that. Becky and I were praying and chatting earlier in the week about we just miss being with people, being with the church. We spend so much time with friends in and around the community, which is great, and we love our friends. And if our friends are watching us from a local community, we love you. It's great spending time with you. But we miss spending time with the church. And thinking of ways in which we can do that this year to see more of you, to spend more time with you, to hear more about what's going on in your lives, to be able to pray more, to be able to be part of your lives. We want to be part of your lives. We want to understand what's going on in your lives and to be able to pray, as I said, with more insight. Ministry, serving God. We're a church of servers. I strongly believe that. I believe there are so many people in this church that I take inspiration from that love to just serve God. And they serve with a smile on their face. And it encouraged me. It encourages me that Becky Harris has had the desire to get back doing some kids' work. And look how many kids are next door. Bless them, Lord. Bless them. May they have a fantastic time. And Fiona and Jacob now taking the young people out. Bless them. May they have an amazing time this morning, Lord. Would they come back encouraged, inspired, and knowing more of you, Lord Jesus, we pray. But that inspires me. People who choose to serve the Lord and find ways to help the body of Christ. I love it. I love hearing stories of serving. You know, for those of you here at the Christmas service, I'm sure there were many of us who came along that morning. I love the Christmas service. Isn't it great to be together and to sing those carols and to see the puppets? And bless Steve and Becky. They must have worked overtime and they must have been exhausted by the time that Christmas came around. But it's just wonderful to be together and to be able to serve God together. And evangelism. That word that brings an extra beat in your heart when people start talking to you about your belief, your faith. We've all been there. We all know what it's like. In the most unusual of circumstances, we spent a little bit of time down in Somerset over the Christmas and New Year period. We got a flat down there, and one evening, the fire alarm went off, and we all had to go out in our pajamas, 9 o'clock at night. I'm in my pajamas. We're midway through a game of Risk, which seemed to take about 17 hours. It was the first time I'd let Emily and Lydia play the game of Risk. Fantastic board game, love it. We played loads of board games over the Christmas and New Year period. And I was determined to teach them properly. I wanted them to know everything about it. And we were going to take our time. And boy, did we take our time. And it was coming on to sort of near midnight. I think we realized, let's just get it over and done with. And we gave up. But at 9 o'clock, this fire alarm went and we went downstairs. And I had, as we went downstairs and met with all the neighbors in the little hall, we often don't see people who are down in that block of flats. So it was nice to actually see people and to meet them. And I realized I had my Spring Harvest hoodie on, which talks about loving Jesus and loving the world. And I just thought, wow, Lord, if that's planted a seed. And one of the guys I was chatting to, who's the local postman, he would have seen it all literally, he can't miss it, all over my hoodie. I thought, Lord, I pray that that's planted a seed in his heart and his life, and that at some point I get another opportunity to talk to him. And so maybe it's another fire alarm in the months ahead, maybe not, but I'd love to be able to have that opportunity. And you know that moment when somebody asks you about Jesus and your heart goes, and you think, wow, this is why we're made. This is why we're here. We're here to direct people to Jesus, show them the love, the mercy of our Father. And I pray for more and more opportunities. We've got some great ideas and plans for this year ahead for the church. Can't wait to start doing more together. But I want to be able to reach out in new ways. Again, Becky and I were talking this week. She's brilliant at what we... You know, you sort of classify different forms of evangelism, don't you? But she loves friendship evangelism. You know, she's got, and she'll hate me for saying this, but she's not here this morning, so I can say it. I'll get told off later, I'm sure. But anyway, so she loves to. She's got a great friendship group in the area. She loves to reach out to people. In fact, the local tennis club said to her, because we're quite active in the local tennis club, they said, would you like to start a new to tennis group? What do you want me to do? Well, you need to find as many people as possible. And I, you know, we were chatting about this idea of getting people into tennis, and I thought, during the winter months, nah, there's no chance. No one's going to want to come along. First morning, she had 20 of her female friends, mum friends with her, and they stayed and now have committed to the club. And I say to her, like, why don't you start some sort of coffee shop in the tennis club afterwards and just build up more in there? It doesn't have to be the church building. We don't need to be confined to this area, but you can build friendships, build networks. And I pray that that would be the start of something and that she'd be able to have more and more time with her friends, talking to them about Jesus. I love talking to friends about Jesus, and it just doesn't happen often enough. And I pray that we'd have more opportunities this year. Worship, discipleship, all these things that I look to judge my own life on. I like to do that. I like to think about, what do I need to invest more time in this year? What have I missed out on? What have I neglected in 2021? And I can make all the excuses under the sun if I want about, there's been times of restrictions and I'm not going to do. That's not right. God has not stopped. He's not restricted himself. He's not stopped loving us. He's not stopped pouring out his mercy and grace on us. Praise God. He is still active and alive in our lives, and he can transform people's lives. He can transform neighborhoods. I believe it wholeheartedly. He can transform people's lives. He can transform the neighborhoods that we all live in. He can bring people to know him just like that. It's incredible that despite all of the things going on in our world, God has never changed. He's the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow, and forever. And the other thing I wanted to point out was that we're all at different stages of our race. And that's absolutely fine. We're all going through different experiences. In 2 months' time, stupidly, I've yet again signed up to do a half Ironman triathlon. And I'm nowhere near prepared. In fact, I did my first two-hour bike ride yesterday inside. By the end of the 2 hours, I was ready to fall over. That's only a third of what I'm supposed to do in 2 months' time. Anyway, that's my challenge. But as I was contemplating 2 months' time and going through this triathlon, so you do the swim first, then you do the bike, and then you do the run, and it's quite a long distance. There are different stages, and you have to prepare for each of those stages. At the beginning, everyone's got loads of energy, and you can see people running, diving into the water. Not me. I like to go in nice and slow because I know I've got a long way ahead. But at some point, as I feel comfortable, I feel like the swimming's going well, I'll start to step it up a bit, and I'll feel confident in my own ability. And then you get out of the water, and you think, whew, that's one of the three disciplines complete. And then onto the bike, and slowly building up. And as each stage goes by, you've got a plan. I've got a plan for what I'm going to do. You don't quite know what the weather's going to be like. You don't know how that's going to affect you. You don't know whether you're going to need to take on food. And I don't know about you, but I just find it really hard to consume any food whilst exercising, particularly if I'm running. It just doesn't sit well with me. So everyone says, you've got to take all these gels, these little tiny gels, and you take them on board, and they give you the energy, the boost you need. But I find that my stomach doesn't seem to agree with these energy gels, and so I'm somewhat stuck. Which slows me down considerably, but that's my challenge, not your challenge. But there are different stages, and I think it's the same in our walk with God. We're all at different stages, we're all going through different things. We've all got different experiences that we can draw from and draw upon too. And that's been one of the things I've most valued about Life Group. Life Group is a great moment in your week. It may only be an hour, it may only be 30 minutes, but it's a great moment in the week for me to hear about how other people are getting on, what they're going through, and to share. Now, how often do you sit down and share what's going on in your life? Life just flashes by. Things happen so quickly. And it's very rare that we sit down and take a moment to talk, to pray, to think, to contemplate. And I found life groups over the years to be like the energy boost that I need. There we are, that's my energy gel, but it sits well with me. each week, knowing that I can chat to some familiar faces, to see some familiar friends, and talk through what's going on in our lives. So that's part one, the church. Part two, let love be genuine. Abhor what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not be slothful in zeal, but fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. You know, it says in Amos, hate evil, love good. We are surrounded by evil. And often the light doesn't get an opportunity to shine. We are surrounded by evil. You know, it's so easy to hear about the evil that exists within this world. But how much time do we dedicate and devote to the good that is going on in our lives? Which is why I loved it that Reese brought Pete up to celebrate the good that is going on in our lives. There is good going on in our church right now. You know, if you get a chance and it's nice and dry afterwards, we get to talk outside, talk to people, tell them about what's good in your life. Right now, have a think about 2021. What good things did God do in your life in 2021? Think about it. Talk to people about it. Tell them about the goodness. You can tell me all about the good things that are going on in your life. I love to hear that. It inspires me to know that God is at work in our lives. I don't hear it enough. I don't commit enough time to hearing the good work of God going on in His people, in the church. Celebrate what is good. You know, in the office with my team, I like to do this thing. It very much depends on the meeting. Sometimes you can read the mood of a meeting, can't you? Especially if you're online and people are starting to drift off a bit, or then they're not really as active. Or you can see that they're clearly working on their emails. They're not really paying attention to the meeting. Or in one extreme case, someone said to me, one of our colleagues just turns around away from the camera, which is really off-putting because if you're trying to talk to someone on a screen and they're not actually looking at the screen, it is quite off-putting. But to turn your back is even worse. Anyway, that's a challenge for next week, not for this week. But you can read a meeting. You can tell when people are not particularly active, or maybe it's not going so well, or it's a difficult meeting, or people are a bit annoyed, a bit wound up. And it, you know, generally, Monday morning meetings tend to be a bit like that. And you think, right, we've got to do something to inspire, encourage, and motivate people. You know, I'm always being told about setting a tone. Set the right tone. So one of the things I've been encouraged to do with my team over the years is at the end of the meeting, to ask everybody to say one thing that they're thankful for in their lives. Just one thing. And it's unbelievable the effect it's had on the team. It's such a simple exercise to do. Think of one thing you're thankful for. And you know, we can all say the big things, we can talk about the big things in our lives, but to do it on a regular basis is challenging, it's tough. You've got to think of new things, or somebody says something, and you that was going to be mine, but I've got to think of another one now. But it forces you to think of the things that we're thankful for in our lives. How often do we do that together as church? I love the next part, outdo one another in showing honor. It's almost, okay, you know me, I like my games. Some people might think I'm competitive. I am a little bit competitive, a little bit. I do like my games. Outdo, it's like a game, outdo one another in showing honor to one another. Regard or treat someone with respect and admiration. That's what it means to show honor. I want to outdo as many people as possible in showing honor this year. That's my challenge. That's my personal challenge. You need to hold me to it by the end of the year. You can ask me what I've done to show honor. I want to show honor to people. I want to honor you. I want to honor people who are here today. This church, this beloved church, these wonderful people that are sat around near us. Those who are watching online, I want to show honor to you. I want to bring honor to God's people, to God. I want to be a person that loves to outdo one another in showing honor. Why don't we take that challenge up this year? Wouldn't that be great? To show more and more respect and admiration for one another. I love the fact that so many people are committed to not just the church, but to, as I said beforehand, to service. And it might be very simple. It might be a simple text. You might get a text from somebody in the church that shares a Bible verse with you. It can be something very simple. I've shared before in the past, Mary's not here this morning, but Mary used to, when I was at university, she used to make me a chocolate cake. As a student, there was nothing better than a chocolate cake. I was the envy of all my housemates at university when I brought back a chocolate cake from church from Mary, and they'd all think, wow, what a church. It gives you chocolate cake. And it wasn't just like a small chocolate, it was a proper big. It fitted into one of those big roses tins, not the roses tins that are really small, or any other type of chocolate tin. But, you know, the proper big tins we used to have many, many years ago, full of chocolate cake. But it meant so much to me in 20-plus years on now from that university experience. I still remember the blessing of Mary coming over on a Sunday morning and giving me a chocolate cake. That was my need. That's what I wanted. I didn't eat well at university. I'm not a good cook, as my wife will attest. But that meant a lot to me, a simple act of service. And I honor Robert and Mary for the act of love and serving that they've given to me throughout my entire life. I know that God is with them, and they continue to serve him no matter what. What a blessing they are to us as a church. Fervent, fervent in spirit, having or displaying a passionate intensity. And people do that in different ways. You know, some people are very passionate about the scripture, and they'll share verses with you. I was chatting to my nan, believe it or not, over the Christmas period and catching up with her, and she was telling me about the Psalms that she was currently reading. And she was so passionate about Jesus. He's my shepherd. He'll never leave me. She prays almost all day long for the family. And I think, what an act of service that she would commit all of her family to God every day. And, you know, trust me, and I speak to my nan very infrequently, but when I do, it touches me. You know, as a little boy, I remember spending time at her house, and she'd teach me new things. She'd get out the hymns, and she'd read the hymns and play the hymns on the piano whilst I was busy playing some sort of football game, I'm sure, in the background. But it went in. It went into my life. It soaked into my being, into who I am. And so to have a little chat with her every now and again, and she encourages me in my walk. She just loves praying to God. And it just encouraged me to hear her talking all these years that have gone by, and she's still worshiping Jesus. She's still praying for the family, for friends. She's still fervent in spirit, chasing after our God and serving him at all times. Real encouragement to me. And then on to 12:12 then, where we've obviously said, rejoice in your hope, be patient in tribulation, be constant in prayer. So in terms of hope, Hebrews 6:17-19 says, hold fast to the hope set before us, and we have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. Chris, she mentioned last week about hope. It's not just a wishful hope. It's not just a, I wish it would come true. This is a firm and secure hope that we have in Christ Jesus. It's like an anchor, firm and secure for our soul. And we go through tribulations in our lives. That's part of the Christian life. We rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, as it says in Romans 5, verse 3. In Romans 8, verse 18, it says, sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us. And in John 16, verse 33, it says, in the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world. We do go through tribulations and trials in our lives, and at times they can seem overwhelming. But it's not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed. I'm sure if we look back over the last 12 months, we can all recall trials and tribulations. I'm sure all of us have got different experiences. But God is with us, and God continues to be with us. He won't leave us, he won't forsake us, and he's here this year. And we need to be constant in prayer. That's my encouragement to us this morning. If you walk away from here with nothing else, walk away with this one verse, which finishes off, to be constant in prayer. There are some inspirational prayers in this church. You might not know who they are, but I dare you to find out who they are this year. I dare you to chat to people about how they pray, when they pray, what they pray for. I get inspired by hearing about beloved brothers and sisters in the church who are praying every day for every person. Whew. Imagine that, every day for every person. That's a lot of prayer. That's a lot of prayer going up to our Father in heaven. I just think, you know, it was only a matter of weeks ago that we started to hear of Mum's illness. And simple text to the life group saying, do you mind if we pray for Mum in the life group? There's only, what, five, six, seven of us perhaps that meet in the life group on the Thursday night. And I texted one or two others and said, oh, we're going to pray for Mum in the life group. Well, word spread. It wasn't just going to be our life group. Well, another life group wanted to join. Some more people wanted to join. Could you believe it? The church is all on Zoom praying for Mum. What an encouragement to me, first and foremost. I felt so encouraged to know that the church was upholding Mum and continues to uphold Mum in prayers as she continues her journey back to full health. We pray that God would bring her back to full health, and praise God that we've seen some real positive signs in the last few weeks. But we continue to pray for her and for Dad as well, that God would hold them up in prayer. And we do that together as a church, and they know that we are praying. That's another reassuring thing, isn't it, to know that the church prays for one another. So there are some inspirational prayers, and I encourage you to find them this year. And the final part of Christian advice, let love be... we've done that bit, sorry. My fault, my notes. Contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. Now, hospitality. I was mulling up, what is hospitality in church life? Okay, so the first thing I came up with was hospitality in business. And I looked at this picture and realized, that's pretty much died in the last 2 years, hospitality business. And for those of you who work in the hospitality business will realize it's been non-existent in the last 2 years. And in some respects, I feel that I found it hard to show hospitality in church in the last few years because we've just not been able to do things together. But we've got to find new ways. We've got to encourage one another to show hospitality in whatever way it may be. I went for a walk with David in the rain on Thursday. It was great fun. We walked to Starbucks and got a coffee. We were within all of the restrictions necessary. I enjoyed catching up with my brother. It was wonderful to see him and to hear what's going on in his heart, his life. There are new ways. There are new ways of catching up. Okay, we can use our video conference technology. It's okay. It helps a bit to see people's faces. But you can send a text. You can share a verse. You can drop some food around to someone's house. There are so many ways in which you can encourage one another. You can show hospitality. And there are some amazing people in this church who show great hospitality. And I've missed some of the meals that have been shared together within the church over the years. But we need to contribute to the needs of the saints. And we all have needs. And it's incredible when people see a need and just go and solve it. Just go and sort it. Think this year about the needs of those around you. And one other thing I'll say to you, have a think back. And I did this in the week. Have a think back over 2021 about some of your needs that were met by some of the people in the church or family or friends. It's incredibly powerful when you think about people meeting needs that you've got. And we often just take it for granted. We don't recognize it. We don't highlight it. We should be focused on the good that God is doing in his church. There are different ways to show hospitality and to meet the needs of the saints. I'm going to finish up with part three, which is responding to persecution. Put simply, we are to be kind, to show kindness despite persecution. Despite the challenges that we may face for loving our God in the way that we do. We're to bless those who persecute us. Bless and don't curse. That's a tough challenge. You know, I took my eldest daughter, Emily, up to Old Trafford on Monday as a little treat. So for those of you that don't know, I'm a Manchester United fan. And it's persecution at the moment, of a different kind, of course. But poor girl, I've taken her up twice to watch two matches over the last 2 or 3 years. And you know, we love it. We spend time together. And I don't often get 3 hours with my teenage daughter in the car just talking, and then 3 hours on the way back, and there wasn't much else to talk about in respect of football, that's for sure. Poor girl's been up twice. She's seen one goal, and that was scored for the opposition. So I keep saying to her, it will get better than this. I do hope it does get better for her sake more than anything. But it did remind me of How contrasting, okay, on a completely different size and scale, in a completely different way, but the contrast between the grace that God bestows upon us and the painful persecution and the wrath and the sin that exists in this world. You know, they're polar opposites. And sometimes it's simple pictures for me help me to think about what God has said through His Scripture. We must understand the powerful nature of our God. He requires holiness and He hates evil. He is a God of wrath who cannot have sin in His presence. He will avenge, not us. However, because of Jesus' sacrifice, we are extended mercy and grace. It says in Hebrews 4:16, let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. I've been reading some books on by R.T. Kendall over the Christmas period, and it's just reminded me just how he is a God of wrath who hates sin. And we are sinners. It's not a great combination. He's a God of wrath who hates sin. He can't have sin in His presence. And we are sinners. You know, sometimes I take for granted the grace that God bestows upon us. By the grace of God, we can come into His presence and worship Him even today. You know, we get the privilege of joining together in this room and entering the Holy of Holies and bowing down before our Father in heaven. You know, when we sing our songs, they're not just words on a screen. They're not just conjured up songs and thoughts of a religious traditional nature. This is a heartfelt cry from deep within. We are entering into the presence of God when we worship Him. And we do that because of the precious blood of Jesus that avails for us. Boy, I pray again this year, I'm telling myself this more than anyone else, but I want to know how amazing that grace is. I want to know more of the grace of God in my life. I want to understand or try to contemplate and understand the cost that God went through of sending Jesus to the cross for us as a punishment, as an atonement for our sin. I want to learn more. I want to go deeper with Him. I challenge you to challenge me this year. I want to be accountable to you. I want you to ask me about what's going on in my life, what I'm learning about in the Scriptures, and I want to be able to do that the same to you and share together what God is revealing to us. There are so many incredible people in this church, so many wise people who've learned so much, so many people who've gone through so many things and seen the almighty arm of God, the hand of God upon their lives. And I want to hear more. Beloved, this is a cry from deep within. This is my heart. I don't just want to do church. I don't just want to go along and go to work. I want to be part of your lives. I want to hear what God is saying to us as a church, because this means more to me than anything else in all this world. And I know at this time of year, particularly when I'm refocusing my life, re-energizing myself, it comes back to me, the importance of church, the importance of being together. And I apologize for taking it for granted. And I know I can go through the motions through the year and just turn up here on a Sunday or join with friends through life group, but I want it to mean, and it means more to me than anything else. And I want to encourage you, to encourage me, to continue pressing into Him this year, to be re-energized, to be refocused on God. We need to know the God of wrath in order to enjoy the grace He gives in a greater way, in a greater dimension. He's the God who sent His Son, Jesus, to the cross. I've lost it, it's okay, that's all right. I'm pretty much done anyway. He's the God who sent His Son Jesus to the cross, who caused Him to conquer the power of sin and death, who raised Him to life again, that we may have life. I want to enjoy life despite the restrictions and challenges that are going on in our lives together, whether it's here in person, whether it's on a Zoom call, by prayer, by being constant in a prayer. I want to rejoice in the hope that we have together. I want to rejoice in the hope that we have together. Brothers and sisters, can we join together right now and just pray for this year ahead? Would you join me if you just stand as the band come back up? I'm going to pray and ask that God would be with us this year as we seek to put Him first in all that we do. Lord, what an amazing God You are. What an amazing Father that we serve, and we love to serve You. And Lord, we come before You again this year, our hearts poured out to You. Would You be the first in our life, I pray. We fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, and we choose to follow you. We want to follow after you. Father, may that be the cry of our church, that we follow Jesus wholeheartedly with everything we have. May that go forth from here, as we've sung this morning, to the nations. Lord, we pray it would reverberate around the cities and the towns that we live in, that you would be glorified, that you would be honored, that you would be magnified. We raise a hallelujah to you this morning. And I pray that as your church, as we come before you again this morning, Lord God, would you help us to rejoice in the hope that you have for us. Where there are tribulations and trials, Lord God, would you show us your way? Would you show us that you're there with us? Would you help us, therefore, to be constant in our prayer? We trust you, Lord God. We're excited for the year ahead. We look forward to what you've got for us as a church. We're excited by what's already happening. But, Lord, we look forward longingly for the testimonies that will come forth, Lord. We pray for testimonies of your goodness at work in people's lives. We pray for new birth this year. Lord God, would you bring people to know you? Lord, would you cause people to surrender their lives to you here in this building or outside this building, wherever it may be? As your church, we just want to hear of testimonies of people coming before you, giving their lives to you afresh, of new birth, we pray, in 2022. Lord, we commit our lives afresh to you again. We choose to serve you and you alone. And we ask, Lord God, that you would be with us as a church. In your holy name, amen.